Amen. A wonderful thought of being consumed with serving God, because truly to live is Christ. Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Appreciate the choir songs today, and good to hear them singing, and appreciate each one who uses their musical talents for the Lord. When I hear that verse that Kim just sang for us, I'm always reminded that was the verse that my grandmother had the year that she went home to be with the Lord as her life verse for that year. She would pick a different verse every year and went home to be with the Lord in 1970. But of course, that's Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it really won't be that hard for you to find our text this morning. This is different from our Sunday evening series that we're doing, in case you're wondering. We are in the same book. In fact, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians tonight, but this morning we're continuing on with our series of our faithful God. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one verse, and it's verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your faithfulness as we've heard it played and sung and spoken this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are the one true God. And Father, we thank you that it's all made possible because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice in our place on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, that he arose from the grave and that he lives forevermore. And Father, as we try to look again at your faithfulness, I pray that every one of us here would have a greater appreciation for what your faithfulness means and how we can see it in our daily lives. Lord, I thank you that this is the inspired word of God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that through your word, you would refresh our souls, revive our spirits, and cause us to leave here rejoicing as we've reflected on our faithful God. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, knowing that we serve a faithful God should give us a greater appreciation for the relationship that we can enjoy with him. You see, we can all rejoice this morning in the fact that our God is the one who knows no respect of persons. In the passage that we have here before us, and Paul gives us a number of different thoughts which can be treated independent of each other, although they also tie in contextually to the message there. But I want us to just stop and think this morning, having spent some time last week discussing the nature of our faithful God. This morning, I want us to think about the calling of our faithful God. He says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The first and most important calling that we receive from God is what's found in chapter 2. If you turn there back to our theme verse for the year, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 12, the Bible says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You see, the first and most important call, when we think of what it is that God calls for us today, is the fact that he is faithful in calling us to salvation. He's faithful in calling us to salvation. Who better than our Creator to know the needs of his own creatures? Who better than God than to know the needs of mankind? But when we think about our wonderful God, I am so grateful that he knew full well that it was going to be impossible for you or for me to have in and of ourselves anything sufficient to come remotely close to the presence of Almighty God. You know, when you think about events that take place and historic venues, and whether it's of a political nature or whether it's some type of rally or some entertainer that comes, and how oftentimes you're purchasing a ticket and you think that this ticket is really one of the best seats in the house, and you're convinced that you've really got this great deal, only to get there and to find out that for that specific function that is taking place, they've added about 50 rows of chairs in front of you. And what was normally the first row is now about a good 51 rows back. And you think, oh man, all that in vain. I am so grateful that when it comes to our God, that He knew that every single one of us was going to be incapable by ourselves of drawing close to Him. And so therefore, He made a call to every single one of His creations to put their faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that when we think about that call, that there is not anyone for whom Christ did not die. I thank the Lord that when we examine this call, that it is something that will draw us into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, and give us a glimpse of that breathtaking glory of God. I am looking forward to that day and understanding that, yes, the time is coming when we will be able to spend an eternity in heaven. We will be able to admire His beauty and enjoy His glory. As the songwriter said, I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. There is a call that is going out today. And by accepting that call to salvation, we can look forward to spending eternity with our Heavenly Father. But not only do we think of it in spending eternity with our Father, but we also think of the fellowship that we can enjoy through this call, again, all predicated on the faithfulness of our God. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul has said, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And God puts out a call to all mankind to put their faith and trust in Him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul reminds us of this great truth when he says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, stop and think about this, if you would, for a moment. Now, when you think of a politician, and I know this is the time when all of those circles are starting to buzz a little bit more, and you think of a politician trying to satisfy the desires of all of his or her constituents. And you stop and think about the times where, you know, a letter has been sent and you're really hoping, and you get this reply, and then you find somebody else who sent in a totally different request and got the same reply. You realize, you know, they don't know who I am. They don't care about what my needs are. They're not interested in really seeking to help me with this situation. All they want is my vote. They want to be able to continue with their own agenda, their own platform, imposing on whether it's our city, our county, our state, or even our nation, they want to impose on me their ideas. You know what is so wonderful about God and the call that He offers to all who will come and put their faith and trust in Him is that because of God's faithfulness, we are able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father that also includes fellowship. And that fellowship is with His Son, Jesus Christ. No, it's not a matter of God saying, oh yeah, there's somebody out there in Fairfax, Virginia, and yeah, you know, sometime if they want to get saved, I guess they can. No, God says, if you will hear my call today, turn from your sins, recognize Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation, put your faith and trust in Him, then you and I, one-on-one, in a very personal and individual fashion, will enjoy fellowship. And a lot of times, I'm sure any of us can think of people that we have met before who perhaps may have had some type of a position or a high place in their career or in their field or in the educational institution, and we think we really have this great relationship with them. And maybe a few months goes by and you haven't seen them. And then you run into them, whether it's in the foyer or it's out walking down a sidewalk or going through a parking lot, and you see them and you say, "Hey, so-and-so," and they have this blank look when they look at you. Like, who in the world is this guy? You know, who is he? He's coming up to me. And you're just so excited because you know this is one of your good friends. And they're looking at you and don't have a clue. And then they sometimes will say, "Remind me again, where did we meet?" And you think, "Oh, that's how much I mean to him. Wow, I'm so glad we have this great relationship." But do you realize, my friend, this morning, that for those who will receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, there is never one time where any of his children have ever come up to him and he said, "Tell me your name again. Who are you?" No, you see, because of the faithfulness in his call, it is not limited to just a select group. No, God offers his call to all mankind. But the problem is, there are some people, even under the sound of my voice this morning, that have not heeded that call. Oh, they've heard it. Yes, they are aware that the call has been made. They're aware that the signal has gone out. They're aware that the word has been written. But they have not received it and said, "You know, rather than trying to get to heaven on my own, I am going to depend upon Jesus Christ, and I am going to accept the call that he has offered to all those who will put their faith and trust in him." You know, I rejoice in the fact that, yes, when God makes his call for salvation to all, he means it. Indulge me for just a moment as I read very quickly a number of different verses and see if you can catch the common theme in these verses. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. See a little bit of a theme there? Isn't it a blessing this morning to know that the faithfulness of our God is made available to whosoever? There's not one person who could stand up this morning and say, "But preacher, you don't know my life. You don't know all the bad things that I've done. You don't know how I've acted. You don't know my past. Therefore, it's impossible for that faithful God to desire to have a relationship with me." Nothing could be farther from the truth. That's the lie of the devil. You see, our faithful God, who has offered this call of salvation, desires for all to repent. And the capstone on that subject has to be found in Revelation 22:17, where the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and "Let him that heareth say, Come," and "Let him that is athirst come," and "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." You see, there is a call coming out from a faithful God this morning. A call for salvation. A call to save all those who put their faith and trust in Him and Him alone. And it is the faithfulness of our God that will cause Him to complete that work of salvation, begun in those who are saved, until we see Him face to face, as Paul reminds us in Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, there's a call to salvation. And some of us this morning can rejoice in that call because we've not only heard it, but we've heeded it. We have received the gift of eternal life. And we rejoice this morning in the fact that, yes, we know with absolute certainty, because of a faithful God, that heaven is going to be our eternal home someday. Thank God for His faithfulness. But there's a second call that must not be overlooked. And this is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 7, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness." Holiness. You see, God is faithful in calling us to salvation, but He's also faithful in calling us to sanctification. And sanctification is the process whereby we grow in our knowledge of God, in our walk with Him, become more like God, and in turn exhibit true godliness and holiness through our thoughts, words, and deeds. But this matter here of the call to sanctification is something that we have to keep in mind, that the only way in which this will be fulfilled in the fashion in which God desires is that we continue to allow God full access to our hearts and to our lives. You know, and sometimes we think we've really given Him full access. And then as we sit in a service like this, or we sit in a Bible study fellowship class from last hour, or we sit down in the week to open the Word of God and to read His Word, God speaks to us about something, and we're reminded of the fact, oh yeah, there's a closed door in my life. That's something that I haven't really been willing to give over to God. That's been an area of my life that I haven't really been desirous of having Him enter yet. And in fact, God, if you don't mind, just stay out of that one room and everything will be fine. You see, God has called us to holiness. And anything less than giving my God my all will never result in true holiness. Now, we like to think it would. And we're masters at putting on the mask and at acting as though everything is fine. But you see here in this immediate context, if you turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5, the preceding verse, the Bible says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in verse 25, "Brethren, pray for us." There's a couple things here that must not be overlooked. First of all, God is the one who sets us apart at the moment at which we accept the call of salvation. We repent of our sins, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God has put on us the seal of ownership, the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells in our hearts, as the Bible reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30. But then also he says, "I pray God," and he says, "Brethren, pray for us." There is an aspect of our sanctification that must not be overlooked, because it's not just the fact that once we're saved that we are now set aside as a part of God's children, God's family, pulled out of the world and put into the family of God, but there's also a sense whereby on a daily basis I have to continue to listen to God speaking to me to help me to be a better father, a better husband, a better pastor, a better man of God. You see, we can look back and say, "Oh, praise God, I heeded the call to salvation. I received the gift of eternal life, but that's just the beginning because there's a follow-up call. And that's where God is now saying, listen, it's not about uncleanness, it is about holiness. And we all know from a human standpoint, our standards for cleanliness, hopefully at least, are increasing the older we get. I mean, we all know it. When you're a child and mom says, clean up your room, what does that mean? That means you kick all your toys under the bed. That means you don't worry about the sheet. You don't worry about the fitted sheet and the flat sheet. You pull the comforter up to the top. You throw the pillow there. And it also means you make sure you grab all your clothes, you throw them in the closet and shut the doors. That's clean. Okay, hopefully, the older you get, you now realize, wow, you know, maybe if I want to wear that shirt again and not be ashamed in public, instead of wadding it up and throwing it in the floor, I ought to put it on a hanger. You know, now instead of just kicking everything under the bed and then forgetting half the stuff that's under the bed, it might be better to put everything in its proper place so that the next time I want to use that, I can find it. And you see, that's where God is saying, okay, the very first moment you've been saved, praise God, you've heeded that call to salvation. And the faithful God was there, and he never shut the door to you in offering that salvation. But he says, now take the next step. I've got another thing for you to do. I want to see you become more holy. And the first day we say, hey, listen, I'm saved, praise God. I'm going to heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's reason to rejoice forevermore. And it is. But God says, now, I want you to become more holy. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He points out a couple things here. One, he says, there was a time when you were ignorant to what holiness was all about. And he said, I understand that. But he said, I want you to reflect on something. How is your God? Your God is holy. And so if your God is holy, and you are to be like your God, then what should you be? Holy. And so, as we grow in our spiritual walk, and as we've heeded that call to salvation, we now think about the call to sanctification, the call unto holiness, and it becomes no longer something that I do on Sunday, but it's something that I do every single day of my life, saying, God, what today needs to be changed so that I can better reflect my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What are the attitudes that I have manifested to my family that maybe had a little bit of an edge on them, that maybe weren't as kind and loving and caring as they should have been? What are the projects and things that I was seeking to do this last week that maybe some of them I did in my own strength instead of really asking you for your strength? Maybe it was singing a song, teaching a lesson, preaching a message. Lord, how can I be more holy like you are holy? And you see, God knows. He knows all about us. He knows the good and the bad. He knows the things that you're proud of, that you'd love for others to see. And he knows the things that you and I run from. We think of our sinful nature. But you see, God wants to see us become like him. He sets that example for us. He calls us to be holy, as it says there, in all manner of conversation. That is, in everything we do. And we can have fun. Life is not a continual church service. Life involves all kinds of activities. But just like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do how much to the glory of God? What's it say? All. So Lord, as I go to work today, I want to be heeding, not just hearing, but heeding your call to sanctification. I want it to be that when something doesn't go my way at the office, that I keep my temperament controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that I demonstrate that even under pressure and stress, I can still give a godly response. Lord, I want it to be that today, that even though I don't feel well, and God, even though I've got a lot of pain right now, and God, even though this is looming ahead of me, that Lord, I still want to be holy in the way in which I treat my fellow classmates, my fellow neighbors, my fellow co-workers, my family. I want it to be, God, that I'm heeding your call to sanctification, to be made more like Christ. You know, there are a lot of factors that can contribute to our uncleanness, but a couple of them that I think are pretty all-encompassing are simply our apathy. And I think this is one of the things that characterizes our day and age, as the Bible indicated with the church at Laodicea, that would really color a lot of what takes place in the time leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And it's just that lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold. Yeah, I'm there. You know, and how does that lukewarmness manifest itself? It can manifest itself in a husband taking his wife for granted. Yeah, you know, and haven't gone out and done anything horrible. We're there for each other. That's not what God desires. He wants me every day to seek to have the love of Christ towards his church demonstrated in my home towards my wife. You know, that can be demonstrated in saying, well, you know, yeah, I know the offering plates went by. We tithed last month. We're just going to take a break this month. It's no big deal. You know, they won't turn off the lights because I didn't put my tithe in. But it's a matter of allowing a little bit of uncleanness here, a little bit of uncleanness there. We justify a wrong attitude. We justify wrong response to God's commands. We think about the matter of witnessing, and the Lord speaks to us. Now, this last week, I happened to be coming out of the dollar store and had something that can't recall having occurred, at least not in the recent past, but as I was walking to my car, there was a lady there, and she asked me for money. And I think I've told you before, I don't like to give money, but I learned something Dad started doing a few years back, and I've sought to do the same thing, pick up some McDonald's gift cards, and I'll give somebody that so I know they can at least go buy alcohol or tobacco with it. as long as they don't take it to Germany. I think they sell beer in McDonald's in Germany. We won't go there. But hopefully they'll keep it in the States. But you know, I like to give them those, and I didn't have one, and I thought, do I really want this woman following me to my car? She had a little suitcase thing with her, and I thought, you know, all the stuff you hear on the news, what's she got packing in that thing? You know, what's going to happen? And so I said, oh, not right now. And then I walked to my car, and I thought, well, I'll get a card, and so I grabbed one and got a track, and I came back and looked for her and could not find her. And I went back in the dollar store because I thought that's where she went in. I went up and down every single aisle. I had already purchased what I needed and already taken my bag out, but I was looking fast and furiously for her, could not find her. You know, and as I was leaving, I said, you know, Lord, I hope that wasn't one of those angel unawares that I should have just responded the first time and I missed it. You know, but I think, wait a minute, how sensitive are you to the needs of others? You see, that's a part of our sanctification. Having my eyes opened, that God has left me here to make a difference on this world as a Christian, and that I ought to exhibit that brotherly love we were talking about. And sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we all know when He does, particularly those of us who are saved. We all know when He tells us something that is right or wrong, whether it's a thought we had, a word we said, an attitude we demonstrated. But you see, God is faithful in calling every single one of His children to sanctification. So I ask you this morning, what is it that you need to listen to? Have you become apathetic regarding God's call to sanctification? The second thing is not just apathy, but it's atrophy. And this is where I think of Paul's reminding Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know, we had some brave souls, and I won't use the other adjectives that are going through my mind, or God will condemn me of what I just said, of thinking things we shouldn't think. We had some brave souls the last couple of days who ran over 200 miles. All right, you guys who did it, let's see your hands. Come on, I know. I can't believe they did that. Thank you. But you know, they were trying to tease me into somehow thinking that sometime in the future I will participate in that. I think I have more sense. I hope I have more sense than to do that. But for those of them who are still working on that, you know, it was interesting. I went to the website and was looking up some of the things in the race and the course and where they're going and all these other things, and somebody had put on there some things that they had learned from participating in a race I think a couple of years ago, and they said, when you stop running, don't sit down, and they said, keep moving. But you know, I happen to think one of the things that can happen to us in our Christian lives is that spiritually we become atrophied. Oh, we may have run a terrific race. Oh, I mean, we may have gone the distance. We may have done it in great shape. But we get to the end and we stop exercising ourselves unto godliness. Now, any of you who are in any type of a regular exercise routine know that if you skip a week or you skip a couple of weeks, you feel it the next time you go back and walk or run or do those exercises or lift those weights. You feel it, a little bit of soreness there. But you see, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. When God says day in and day out, be ye holy, for I am holy. I have not called you unto uncleanness, but unto godliness. And when we begin to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I did all that. I'm past all that. No, God wants us to heed that call until we take our last breath. That every single one of us says, Lord, I don't want it to be that ever I allow sin to come into my life and I justify it. And the last thing is that God is faithful in calling us to salvation, to sanctification, and to service. Simple thought, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, you don't need to turn there, but that's where Jesus Christ has all of His disciples and He chooses them. But you know what is interesting? The word that the Holy Spirit inspired there in Matthew 10 and verse 1 is that Jesus Christ called every single one of those 12. And that tells me a couple of things. That tells me, first of all, they had to decide whether or not they were going to not just hear, but heed His call. Okay, the Lord wants me to be a disciple. Am I going to do it or not? He called 12. I'm more than certain there were others that were there that were not called in that context. But you know the other thing that it tells me about the call is He didn't force it upon them. There was no arm twisting of any spiritual nature that He said, all right, Matthew, okay, Mark, all right, John, come on, Andrew, you too, Peter. No, it doesn't work that way. He called. And they had to decide whether or not they were going to heed God's faithful call to serve. You know, the Bible makes it very clear in the book of 1 Corinthians that every single one of us has a gift that God has given to us, a spiritual gift. If you are God's child, you have a unique role that God wants you to play and fulfill within the local church. It's not something simply to enable you to be a better person, but rather it is to help the body of Christ. And every single one of us has to make a personal decision. No one can force it upon us. No one can coerce us into doing it. No, we have to decide of our own will. God, am I going to heed your call to serve? And the blessed part about it is that when we heed that call, we are the ones who end up rejoicing more than those who don't heed that call. Now, the call to service has nothing to do with our salvation. We can be saved and never serve, but we miss out on so many of God's blessings. You know, when we think of the call to sanctification, every one of us has to make a personal choice. Lord, am I going to be holy today? God, am I going to demonstrate today more Christ-likeness than I did yesterday? And so I ask you, which of those three calls is the one that you need to focus on today? If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then I would remind you that whosoever includes you. If you have not received the gift of eternal life, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay your sin's penalty and would love for you to heed that call. But also there are some today to whom God is calling to holiness, who have chosen perhaps through apathy, maybe through atrophy, inactivity, to become less than Christ-like. Oh, they're saved. Has nothing to do with that. But they're not growing that daily, consistent walking with God. They've allowed a little bit of casualness to creep into their life. To you, I say this morning, remember, God tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And perhaps there are some here today that would say, I am seeking to be holy. I certainly am saved. Maybe you're not serving as you could. To you, I would say, what is it that God has uniquely called you to do? What is it that God wants you to do within His local church to further the cause of Christ? You know, we can't all play the piano. We can't all preach. We can't all teach a Sunday school class. But you see, there's something for every single one of us to do that God is calling us to do. And again, it's up to us to decide whether or not we will truly hear His voice. As Paul says in Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven this morning, thank you for being so faithful.